ingrained in us, particularly the older Chandra who worked back in the days of the Final Empire. Some of them don't feel like they have personalities of their own. They don't know how to live unless they're being someone else.
You seem to find the idea disturbing, Wax said, curious.
I'm a youngster, she said with a shrug. Never really had to serve the Lord Ruler. I've always served Harmony, who seems like a generally nice fellow.
An odd way to refer to God. Wax glanced at Marcy, who cocked an eyebrow at him and shrugged. Around them, the pubgoers chattered with a low hum of energy and enthusiasm. Wax and the others had settled into a secluded booth at the side. The warm gas lighting was somehow friendlier, more alive than the electric lights back at his mansion. All right, Wax said to Milan. Let's talk about what Bleeder can do, and about how to kill her.
You don't need to kill her,
Milan said quickly, getting her tower to a second story. She glanced at Wayne, who already had his up to 3 levels.
Just remove her remaining spike, which will basically immobilize her. She's confused. We can deal with her once we have her in custody.
Confused? Wax said. She killed a priest by nailing him through the eyes. Milan's smile faded.
She only has one spike. She's not thinking straight.
Yes, Wax said. But she pulled the other spike out herself, right?
We think so, Milan admitted. We're weaker than other hemolytic creatures. Only 2 spikes and we can be taken. So she removed one.
She wanted freedom to kill, Wax said. She's not confused, Milan. She's destructive and possibly psychotic. Tell me how to kill her. Milan sighed.
Acid works, but it's horribly inefficient. If you crush her skeleton, she'll have a hard time moving, so maybe use that. Gunshots will be useless, as will most forms of physical damage. The spike, it's the key. Pull it out, and she'll revert to her primal state. It is the best way.
Her primal state, Marcy said. A mist wraith.
Milan nodded. Wax tapped the table in thought. If I can get the spike out, chances are that I've already immobilized her. If she's tied up, what good will it do to remove the spike?
Waxillium,
Milan said, leaning forward.
You do realize what you're dealing with. Pa'am was trained by the ancients and served the Lord Ruler himself. She quashed rebellions and overthrew kingdoms in his service, and she is intimately familiar with the intricacies of hemology. By her own accounts, she's learned to use spikes to grant herself elemency and ferrochemy, something we thought impossible. If you have her captured, that is a state she's not likely to remain in for long. Remove that spike!
Wax felt a chill. Right, he said. Will do.
Rasts, Marcy whispered. I thought you didn't want us to be intimidated by you.
Me,
the Chandra said.
I'm harmless.
She waved at the barmaid, then pointed at her mug.
I'm far less crazy than Pa'am.
Great, Wax said. He glanced at Wayne. You look concerned. Me, Wayne said, placing a 4th level onto his tower. Sorry. Trying to think of how to get everyone in the city drunk. I'm not going to ask. Wayne grabbed a few of the coasters as a barmaid dropped more on the table, noticing that they were playing with them. He started building a tower of his own. So we get the spike out. How?
Easiest way is to call me, Milan said. I can get it out. But if I'm not there, don't wait on me. Break her bones, start pulling them out, and eventually you'll find the spike. It will take a strong stomach.
Great. Is there a way to spot a Chandra? Wound patterns? Blood samples? Milan dug into her pocket.
Once we've shifted shapes, we lock into that body and are that person. We'll bleed, and if you take off a finger, our prints will remain that of the person we're imitating. Even another Chandra will have trouble spotting a duplicate. Haven't you read the Historica?
Several times, Wax said, but the Chandra sections are kind of dull.
I feel like I should be offended by that.
Then you aren't drunk enough, Wayne responded. 5 levels. Wax shook his head and concentrated on getting his 2nd level built.
Anyway,
Milan said,
locating another Chondra was a problem in the past, so we did something about it just in case. The more scientifically minded among us developed this.
She slid something onto the table. A pair of needles, about as long as a man's palm is wide, attached to metal syringes. Wax held one up.
Inject that into a Chondra, Milan said, and the liquid inside will make her shape droop for a bit. The skin briefly goes clear, reveals who she really is.
Nifty, Wayne said.
One problem, though, Milan said. If you stick it into someone who isn't a Chondra, it will kill them.
Inconvenient,
Marcy said, examining the other one.
Yeah,
Milan said.
We're working on that part. This is a last resort, obviously, but it will immobilize her briefly. If you want to find Pa'am before using it, you can try to catch her in a lie. She won't have the actual memories of the person she's imitating. Conversely, if you see someone who isn't metalborn use a power, that outs her too.
I've got a feeling that if she's using her powers right in front of me, I'm dead anyway, Wax said. The group fell silent. Wax took both syringes and tucked them into the pouch on his gun belt. Marcy scribbled on a notepad, transcribing the conversation. He'd have to ask her for a copy. Drink refills arrived, and no payment was requested. What had Wayne done here before Wax arrived? He was afraid to ask.
What help is this?
Wax thought, frustrated, his tower falling to pieces. A weapon he could use only when he was already 100% certain who the imposter was? It felt like so little. Bleeder could be anyone. Bleeder could manifest any of the powers. Bleeder was ancient, brilliant, and crafty. She has a plan, Wax said. She's not simply crazy, Milan. There is more to this.
You're still determined to kill her,
Milan said, sighing. If I have to. Why are you so hesitant? I think that the Chondra would be determined more than anyone to see this problem dealt with.
She's not a problem, Milan said. She's a person. Yes, I want to see her stopped. She needs to be stopped. But...
She settled back, then knocked over her small tower of coasters with a flick of the finger.
There's so few of us left. Hell, there weren't ever more than 500 or 600 of us, and we lost a lot in the days before the final ascension. Imagine if your entire race consisted of 300 people, lawman. Maybe you'd be a little more hesitant to see one of them slagged.
A person's species shouldn't matter, Wax snapped. I don't care if there are 300 of you left or just 3. When one of you starts nailing people to walls in my city, I'm going to...
Wax,
Wayne interrupted, balancing his 6th story of beer mat coasters.
Check your pulse, mate.
Wax took a deep breath. Sorry, he said.
What was that? Marcy said, wagging her pencil from Wayne to Wax. Pulse?
Sometimes, Wayne said. Wax forgets he's a person and starts thinking he's a rock instead.
It's Wayne speak, Wax said, grabbing some coasters and starting another tower. For times when he thinks I should be a little more empathetic.
You can be single-minded, mate,
says the man who once collected 80 different kinds of beer bottles.
Yeah,
Wayne said, smiling fondly.
Did that mostly to annoy you, I did.
You're kidding, he shook his head.
Started to hate all those rusting bottles, but each morning you'd curse when you tripped over a new box of them, and it was just so melodious.
You know,
Milan said, taking a pull on her drink,
you two aren't anything like I was led to believe.
Tell me about it, Marcy said.
For one thing,
Milan added,
I had no idea that Kid Wayne was so talented with beer mat sculptures.
He cheated, Wax said. He stuck some of the coasters on his lower level together with that gum stuff he's been chewing. Marcy and Milan turned to Wayne, who grinned. He picked up his sculpture, knocking down the top levels, but revealing that the bottom 3 had, indeed, been stuck together.
Wayne,
Marcy said, aghast.
Are you that concerned with impressing us?
It wasn't about impressing anyone, Wax said. The contest wasn't about how high the towers got. It was about if I'd spot what he did. He always cheats somehow. Back to the matter at hand, Milan. Your rogue Chandra friend is planning something. If her plot gains momentum, it will roll over us and crush this city.
I agree,
Milan said.
So what do we do?
We outthink her, Wax said. I need to know her motive. Why is she doing this? What drove her to pull out her spike in the first place?
I wish I knew, Milan said. We've been trying to figure out the same thing.
Tell me about her, then, Wax said, tapping at his empty shot glass. What is she like? What are her passions?
Ba'alm was the ultimate blank slate, Milan said. Old-style Chandra. Like I said, she spent so much time out on missions that she barely had a personality of her own. She had real trouble with that at the dawn of a new world. Some of the older generations, they liked to spend time in the homeland, only left for a mission when forced to. Not Ba'alm. She was the father's own, the Chandra reserved specifically to do missions for the Lord Ruler.
She hesitated.
She might know things from him, things the rest of us weren't told. I think he may even have had her imitate inquisitors at times, act as a mole among them. Anyway, she wouldn't have been able to impersonate an inquisitor without a good grasp of Allomancy and Ferrochemy. So maybe that's where she got the knowledge. She was loyal to the Lord Ruler, and then when he was gone, she became loyal to Harmony. Fanatical about it. Insisted on being given mission after mission, and never spent time with the rest of us. Kept to herself. She was almost always in character. Until...
Murderous rampage, Wayne said softly. It's always the quiet ones. Well, and the psychopathic ones, that too.
So what does that tell me? Wax thought, leaving his little tower at three stories. How would I approach this if it were any other criminal? Milan leaned back for a moment, as if lost in thought, then flipped a coaster at Wax's tower to knock it down. She grunted. What? Wax said.
I was just curious to see if you were cheating too.
Wax never cheats, Wayne said, face halfway in his mug.
Wax had never figured out how he could talk and drink at the same time without choking.
That's incorrect, Wax said. I cheat infrequently. That way nobody's expecting it.
He stood up. Can you think of a reason Bleeder would target the governor in particular? Milan shook her head. Do any of the other Chandra know her better than you do?
Maybe one of the older ones, Milan said. I'll see if I can get one of them to come talk to you.
Good, Wax said. But first I want you three watching the governor.
I've got to report into the precinct offices first, Marcy said. I want to follow up on something there.
Fine, Wax said. Wayne, you head to the governor's mansion first.
He ditched me last time.
He won't again, Wax said. I persuaded him to listen. They will need him to meet Milan soon.
Sure. All right, Wayne said. It wasn't like I was planning to, you know, sleep tonight or anything.
Sleep might be in short supply going forward, Wax said.
You want me to go with him, Dawnshot?
Milan asked. Depends. Marcy, would you like some backup?
Yes, please,
she said. Watch her, Wax said, nodding toward Marcy. And maybe give Aradel a glimpse of your nature. It's probably time to inform him what we're up against.
Already done,
Marcy said.
Though I'm sure he'd like proof.
Wax grunted. He hadn't ordered her to do that. Be quick about your errand, Wax told her. And get to the governor. I want more than one set of eyes on him. And before we split, I want each pair of us to exchange codes, individual and unknown to the others, so we each have a way to authenticate ourselves to one another. I've done the same with the governor and his top staff. Harmony, this was going to be a nightmare.
Watching the governor isn't going to be enough, Wax, Marcy said, standing up from the table. You said it yourself. Too reactive. So what else are we going to do?
I'll come up with something. The others stood, and Wax towed Wayne by the arm to check to see that they were square with the pub manager. Surprisingly, Wayne had indeed paid for everything he should have. On their way to the door, Wax explained to his friend a little idea he had for protecting the governor. They stepped into the entryway of the pub, where Milan was waiting while Marisie fired up her beast of a motor car. Wayne hiked off to catch a carriage to take him to the governor's mansion, and Wax took Milan by the arm.
"I hate this," he noted, soft enough to keep the bouncer outside from hearing. "Not being able to trust people I should always be able to. Second-guessing myself."
"Yeah,"
she replied.
"But you'll handle it. There's a reason he came to you for this."
She stepped in closer. Rust, she was attractive. But then it would be odd if she weren't, all things considered.
"You and I aren't the only ones hunting Ba'am, lawman. Every Chandra in the city is searching for her. Thing is, I don't think many of my brothers and sisters will be of use. They're timid about hurting others, particularly after what Tensun was forced to do during the remarked duplicity. And beyond that, they can be an inconsistent group."
"They're God's servants," Wax said.
"Yes," Milan replied. "And they've had centuries upon centuries to refine their eccentricities. Getting older does not tend to make you more normal, let me tell you. We don't think like killers. We've been too closely in contact with harmony. What Pa'am is doing, it baffles us. It goes against everything we've believed and lived for centuries. I don't think we'll be able to find her. Not in time. But you, you can."
"Because I think like a killer?"
"I didn't."
"It's all right," Wax said, releasing her arm. "I am what I am." He took his mist coat from the peg by the door and shrugged it on before stepping out into the night. "Thanks, by the way," he said.
"For?"
He tapped his ear and the earring he wore in it. "This."
"I was just the delivery girl."
"Doesn't matter. It was what I needed. When I needed it." He dropped a bullet casing, then stilled it with his foot. "I'll meet you all at the governor's mansion." 14. If you want to know a man, dig in his fire pit. The phrase was from the roughs, maybe Kolos in origin. Basically, it meant that you could judge a lot about a man's life by what he threw away, or by what he was willing to burn in order to stay warm. A loud church clock rang 11 as Wax moved through the mists on alamantic jumps. The sound echoed in the night, the bell tower hidden in the darkness. 11 was not late these days, particularly not in the heart of the city. But it should have marked a time when most men and women had begun to seek their beds. Labor started early in the morning. Only a sizable portion of the laborers in the city didn't have a job to get up for right now. That was reflected in the busy streets and busier pubs, not to mention the soothing parlors he passed, still open well into the night. Those were places where the downhearted could seek a different kind of relief, in the form of an allomancer who, for a small fee, would wipe away their emotions for a time and leave them numb. Rioting parlors were a different beast. There you could choose the emotion you wanted and have it stoked within you. Those might be even more popular, judging by the line he saw outside one. Wax delayed on a rooftop, listening, then headed for the sound of men shouting. He ran along the peaked roof and pushed off the nails in the shingles, launching himself over a set of apartments in a quiet flutter, coming down and landing on a street beyond. Here he found a small Pathian sanctuary. Not the church with the bell he'd heard earlier. Pathian structures were too small for that. Built to resemble old terrace huts, they were often empties save for two chairs, one for you, one ostensibly for harmony. The religion forbade worship in a formal way. But talking to God was encouraged. Tonight the little sanctuary was under siege. They shouted and threw rocks, a group of shadows in the mist, probably drunk. He could make them out well enough. A misty night was never too dark in the city, not with all the ambient light reflecting off the vapors. Wax yanked Vindication from her holster and stalked forward, mistcoat flaring behind him. His profile was enough. The first man who spotted him emerging from the mists yelled a warning and the men scattered, leaving the detritus of their tiny riot. Fallen stones, a few bottles. Wax watched their metal lines to make sure none of them rounded back on him. One stopped nearby, but kept his distance. He shook his head, stepping up to the sanctuary. He found the missionary cowering inside, a terrace woman in intricate braids. Pathian clergy was a strange thing. On one hand, the religion emphasized man's personal connection to harmony, doing good without formality. On the other hand, people needed direction, someone to explain all of this. Pathian missionaries, called priests by outsiders, though they rarely use the term for themselves, set up in places like this, explaining the path to all who came. A clergy, yes, but not in the formal way of the survivorists. He'd always found it curious that the small Pathian sanctuaries with large doorways on eight sides let in the mists, while survivorist churches observed the mists from behind domes of glass, comfortable in their ornate rooms full of golden statues and fine wood pews. The woman looked up at him as he knelt, smelling oil. Her lantern lay broken nearby.
"Are you all right?"
he asked.
Yes, she said. Thank you.
Her eyes flicked toward the gun. On principle, Wax didn't holster the thing.
It would be best if you retired for the night, Wax said.
But I live in the loft upstairs.
Go to the village, then, Wax said. In fact, gather any of your colleagues you can in a short time and take them as well. A survivorist priest has been brutally murdered by someone posing as a Pathian missionary.
Sweet harmonies,
the woman whispered. Wax left her to gather her things and, hopefully, do as he told her. He struck out into the night, following a few lines of metal toward where the man he'd scared off earlier had hidden. Wax studied the darkened alleyway in the mists, then dropped a shell casing and launched himself into the air. A careful push let him drop straight into the alleyway, where he landed and leveled a gun at the head of the person hiding there, who immediately soiled himself, judging from the stench and the liquid pooling at the young man's feet. Wax sighed and lifted Vindication. The young man scrambled backward, stumbling over a box of trash, adding to his humiliation.
"You're going to leave that missionary alone," Wax said. "She had nothing to do with the murder."
The youth nodded. Wax dropped a shell casing and prepared to launch himself back into the night.
Murder?
The youth asked.
"Of the—"
Wax hesitated.
"Wait. Why were you here, attacking that sanctuary?"
The boy whimpered.
"They came into the pub, two of them in those Pathian robes, and cursed out the survivor and us."
"Two?" Wax said, advancing on the boy, making him cringe.
"There was more than one?"
He nodded, then, crying, scrambled away and ran into the night. Wax let him go.
"I should have guessed," he thought, launching himself into the air. "The news of the murder couldn't have traveled this quickly. There was more to the plot than the one killing. Rusts. Were other priests in danger? Two people. Bleeder and someone else? Or two helpers? Milan had seemed confident that Bleeder would be working alone, but this offered evidence to the contrary. And the attempt to kill Wax earlier, the ploy involving the server at Zobel Tower, matched too well with his fears of an assassin to be coincidence. Bleeder had help, likely Wax's uncle. He'd look into that later. For now, however, there was a different lead he wanted to chase. He eventually reached the location he'd set out to find. Ashweather carriage and coach. A large open yard at the northern edge of the octant where a fleet of carriages of various styles was stored. Rich-looking landaus with retractable tops, conventional buggies with less lavish upholstery and wood to attract a modest clientele. A few Surrey-style with frilled tops. By far the most common in the carriage park was the standard road coach, the four-wheeled vehicle with a completely enclosed passenger compartment and room at the top front for a driver. They called them Barringtons in the city, after Lord Barrington,
and though the paint jobs could vary wildly, the style was pretty much standardized. Wax's own coaches were Barrington's. He counted 7 in a line here, all lit by electric lamps atop towering stanchions high enough to light the whole yard and adjacent large low buildings. Those were stables, of course, as his nose confirmed. All of the Ashweather Company's carriages were painted a shiny black, common for vehicles used as cabs in the city, and they had a round shield on the side proclaiming the Set family heritage. A shield painted silver, the color that had scraped onto the bricks in the alleyway outside the church. Bleeder had likely fled in a coach just like one of these, one that had been told to wait while Bleeder killed the priest. Wax inspected each vehicle in turn, running his fingers over the silver-painted shields on the sides. No scrapes.
"Can I help you?"
a curt voice demanded. Steel sight indicated a person walking up the row of vehicles. No weapon held, but metal buttons on his coat, a ring on each hand, some change in the pocket, and a watch in his waistcoat. A few pins in the collar of his shirt, very small lines, gave Wax an idea of how tall the man was. Wax turned toward the voice. The man turned out to be a pudgy fellow in a distinctive formal suit with long tails, identifying him as the establishment's proprietor. Wax had known more than a few Sets in his time. He'd never gotten along with any of them. Lean or fat, rich or scrawny, they all got the same calculating look on their faces as they tried to estimate how much money Wax would be willing to part with. This Set's eyes flicked toward Wax's suit, which was rumpled, swum in, and missing the cravat. With the duster on, he likely didn't look very distinguished, and the man's expression hardened. Then he saw the tassels on the duster. His entire demeanor changed immediately. His posture went from "stay away from my coaches" to "you look like the type who will pay extra for velvet pillows."
"My lord," he added, nodding his head.
"Would you like to hire a coach for the evening?"
"You know me," Wax said.
"Waxillium Ladrian, I believe."
"Good," Wax said, digging into his pocket and removing a small steel sheet engraved on one side. His credentials, proof that he was a constable. "I'm on constabulary business. How many of these coaches do you have?" Wax nodded toward the line. Set's expression fell as he realized Wax wasn't likely to be paying him for anything tonight.
23,
the man finally said. "Lots of coaches still in service for the night," Wax said, "considering the hour."
"We work as long as people are out, constable," Set said. "And tonight, people are out."
Wax nodded. "I need a list of the drivers who are still working, their routes, and any prearranged clients they picked up today."
"Of course."
Set seemed more relaxed as he led Wax toward a small building in the center of the carriage yard. As they walked, a coach arrived, no scraped sides, drawn by a pair of sweaty horses with drooping heads and a bit of froth at the mouths. Long hours for the beasts, too, it seemed. Inside the building, Set fetched some records from a desk. Too eager, Wax thought as the man hurried over and offered them. Whenever someone worked with the authorities too easily, it made Wax's eye twitch. So he took his time browsing through the lists Set proffered and kept an eye on the man as he did so. "What percentage of your pickups are impromptu, and what percentage are arranged ahead of time?"
"Half and half, for the black coaches," Set said. "The open carriages are more spur of the moment."
He had a good game face, but something was bothering him. What was he hiding? "You think everyone is hiding something," Wax told himself, flipping through the pages. "Stay on the task at hand." Wax dug into the list, hoping Bleeder had decided to hire a coach for a pickup to be certain she had her escape planned, rather than just grabbing a cab on the street. Finding the one who had driven her would be useful either way. He looked over the records for the drivers still out for the night. Each had a few prearranged pickups over the course of the day, but only 3 had been scheduled around the time of the murder, and 2 of those were repeat customers with a long list of pickups in the past. That left 1. A person to be picked up in the 4th octant, and to be driven at liberty, meaning they were to be driven as long as the client wished. Shanwan was the name listed, a terrace name. The word meant secret. I need to find this driver, Wax said, holding up the list and pointing. If they're still alive.